Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All I ever wanted was a little love. I want true romance, it's true.
Hello, welcome to True Romance. This is Carolina Barlow.
This is Devin Leary. We're back together.
Listen, I was on the road. I was shooting a top secret documentary on the road. I'm not doing voices anymore like that. I'm sorry.
Voices are hard. I mean, listen, yeah. I think it's most natural to go British or go Australian. I actually, okay, sorry, never mind. Go ahead.
I saw a shirt in Walmart that said "Me Lucky Shirt," and it was a picture of a four-leaf clover. And for the next 2 weeks, I couldn't stop saying "Me Lucky Shirt."
That's my culture.
That is your culture. I was on the road, and it was really fun. And there was a lot of romantic drama on the road with the crew, and I got really invested. And I really realized more than I ever have in the past 2-3 years being single, I was like, I need to date, because it's not healthy to be counting on people like I am right now for them to basically hook up and tell me everything. Like the amount of details I need is simply unhealthy. I might as well be asking for like a sex tape at a certain point. I'm like, okay, so then what did you do? Okay, so then what's the problem? Okay, so did he say he loves you?
So then what's the problem?
I got so invested. It's exactly how watching Bachelor in Paradise affected me, where I was in a bad mood for a day because I thought Noah and Abigail, had broken up. And that's just not a healthy way to live. And you have to really, I don't know,
You have to live for yourself, but we need Bachelor in Paradise. Like, nothing's been more clear to me. And in doing the chore of watching The Bachelor so that we can talk about it, which it is a chore this season, I have thought nothing more than we need Bachelor in Paradise. And also, like, how is this even the same franchise? Because it's just, like, so boring in comparison.
That is such a good point. And the patterns are getting old. Fantasy week is getting old. Meeting the parents is getting old. Doing a stupid fucking themed date based on your hometown. I'm done with it all. Literally, give me something. Give me something new. I don't know what it could be, but it did make me think of Tayshia's COVID dates, in terms of when everyone was just at their wit's end trying to keep contestants safe from COVID and have something fun to do. They'd be like, we're going to go to my fake ice cream parlor. Like, it was literally like kids playing house.
I know. And we watched, and to think that we watched every episode of that. And also to think that, like, I keep confusing it with After the Final Rose, watching the Women Tell All, they do like those montages of like, it's just too long. This is the thing. They do those montages in the Women Tell All, where it's like all the drama that happened this season with this person and with that person. And it's like, oh, that actually is kind of crazy. Like, that actually is like a lot of stuff that happened. but it was so drawn out and it was so like few and far between. And like,
Jesse Palmer is making Chris Harrison look charismatic and talented, which is such a feat. He's making Chris Harrison, like, I'm like, I can't believe I'm rooting for Chris Harrison. But I can't believe I'm recognizing Chris Harrison as someone who did a good job at anything besides putting on a suit.
It's also insane. Like I said, like, how is it the same franchise? Because it's insane to think that the same like producers that had Lil Jon as a guest host on Bachelor in Paradise and had like David Spade, where like all the girls were like hitting on David Spade and like trying to hook up with him, is also responsible for this wax figure AI. Like, he's like a cardboard cutout of like a reject college football player. And I don't know where he came from or who he is or where he's going to go after this, but,
or what the universe is going to do with him or what happens after people like that, you know,
die. It's like, I don't think heaven. I don't think hell. I think
some other place, maybe
some other
like
place,
you know, the Matrix factory where things are brought to them. Yeah.
So I just don't understand, but I was loving, he must have gotten a note. If I'm sure you noticed in the Women Tell All, I think he got a note that was like, you need to like inflect more, because he started doing like those voices where he's like, and coming up, oh yeah, you better believe it, we got bloopers, like just doing like inflections for no reason and like trying to make his voice like go up. And it was like so jarring. It was like, wait, what? But
he's going to lose the easiest job in America.
He should. I hope he does.
I think he will.
It's bleak.
The producers are doing a bad job. The ratings suck. And it's because they chose a fucking turd candidate.
Mm-hmm.
I really think this is a show we could produce.
Yes. But also, what are they thinking? Because it's like, this is what something we were just talking about, which is like the rules of the outside world do not apply in the reality TV world. For example, in the Scandoval affair, people are saying, oh, you can't be on Sheena's side. If Sheena hit Raquel, you can't be on Sheena's side, because like, it's never okay to hit someone. It's like, no. It's never okay to hit someone in the real world. In this world, on this corner of Hollywood Boulevard or Sunset Boulevard, where Pump meets Sir meets Villa, like that's all. No rules apply there. And I kind of feel like the problem with The Bachelor is they do end up choosing people who they think, like, that's all I can blame it on, is like, are they choosing people that they think genuinely want to find love? Because they shouldn't be doing that. They should be choosing people who are drama. And I love Charity. Charity is an incredible person with a career and a life and a family who's interesting and cares about her, and friends who are normal. But is she going to bring drama? Like, when they said Charity was the bachelorette, I almost felt like she, first of all, shouldn't be doing that, because she should be like out meeting people who are professional and worthy of her. But second of all, like, there's not going to be drama, at least with Gabby and Rachel. Like, there was like a little bit of like messiness. Like, there was a little bit of like,
Gabby's rough around the edges, as one can.
The roughness around the edge, you know, and it's like, Zach has no messiness. Charity definitely has no messiness. And I'm not necessarily pumped but then this is the thing too, unless Charity gets like a batch of men who are crazy and fucked up, but then I'm just going to feel bad for her. You know what I mean? Like,
and there's definitely going to be a scene where she's like, enough fighting.
I know.
That's the best.
I also felt like some of the girls when watching the Women Tell All, I was like, I think some of these girls actually were just auditioning for Bachelor in Paradise, like Brooklyn, like looking back, doing the look backs, whatever. Brooklyn kept popping into all the drama and like commenting and being like, sorry, I said it. Like, that's just what I was thinking. And it's like, okay, I think she just wants to be on Bachelor in Paradise and she belongs there and she deserves it. I think Christina obviously belongs in Bachelor in Paradise because she's fully unhinged.
Loved. Like, I just love the personality disorders that make up wanting and being on this show.
Yes.
And I think, what is the bachelor's name again?
Zach.
He's so bland. He's such a Jesse. He could be Jesse Palmer's son. Zach, his taste, he is the worst kind of guy. He reminds me of my famous OK Cupid day, where whenever I made a joke, the guy went, oh, gay. A girl will literally be like, haha, I bet this week is fantasy week. And he's like, you crack me up.
I know.
And you're like, I hate you. I hate you. I hate you so much. He'll be like, okay, what are we doing here?
I know.
Pulling up to like maple syrup. Or he'll be like, I know. I'm nervous. I'm a little nervous. That's a lie. I'm very nervous. I'm like, you are a piece of scotch tape covered in hair from a couch. I don't know. Like, you have no more personality than that.
Okay, but I do think that you were right in your statement that him and Gabby actually, like, make sense together because they're both like that with, like, the stupid, like, humor. Like, they kind of belong together, and I think it would be a favor for them to be together because then they won't be putting other people through being with them.
Yes, they both are the kind of person that I would fall asleep looking at, but they seem to think the other one is charming, which that's the thing. Okay, that is the thing. Have charm. You don't have to be smart. You don't have to be, you just have to have some charm. Like Pilot Pete, I thought he was such a bad bachelor and he was so annoying because he was like faking being upset all the time. And like, you could see him try to cry. But I remember when I realized that he could be a standout, and it was when they were doing like rapid dates on Hannah Brown season, and he sat next to her and he goes, I have a question, will you be my girlfriend? And I was like, wait, he's fun. Like, that's a kind of like a cute move. And yeah, like, and he's like, even though you're dating a bunch of guys, like, will you be my girlfriend? And they like kiss, and she's like, oh my god, I will be your girlfriend. But I thought, oh, there's something like, you know, flirty there. And Bachelor in Paradise, we've totally seen guys who have like charm. This guy,
Grocery Store Joe,
I mean, Grocery Store Joe looks...
He
has it all. Intelligence, maybe not, but everything else, he's got it. He has a twinkle in his eye. It totally makes sense why multiple girls have, like, totally fallen in love with him and why one of them, like, went to paradise to try to get him back. But yeah, this guy is charmless. But I know we're jumping around a bit, but I do want to revisit Vanderpump very quickly.
Okay.
I want you.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like I said, you know, being on the road, seeing romantic drama, wanting to be involved in it, and that being a painful feeling, I was also reading a lot about this Tom Sandoval, this Ariana, this Raquel, and loving the storyline I was reading and being very frustrated because, you know, over the years, I've slowly been getting into Real Housewives of New York, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Real Housewives of Miami, Potomac. And I thought, why did I miss the one that had a, it's how I felt when I heard about people sleeping through the Oscars slap, when I heard about, you know, people missing out on these big cultural moments. I thought that's sad. Like that must have not felt good when you heard it secondhand first. And that's how I felt reading about Raquel and Tom Sandoval's affair. So I last night started watching some of the most recent season. And let me tell you, watching earlier in this most recent season is incredibly enlightening. Because of course you have the best, you know, back and forth between Lala and Raquel, like when Raquel is drunk and Lala is saying, I wouldn't trust you around. And if, when you're drinking, I wouldn't trust you on any man of mine. And Raquel has honestly a really funny rebuttal where she says, well, thank God you don't have a man around. And, but there's also a point where Raquel is, she is getting bullied. Is she a good person? Probably no, it does not look like it, but she is getting bullied and she has a full blown panic attack. And I actually was like, I think she is having a panic attack. Like she seems so overwhelmed. And she's like, I'm a mess. And yeah. the girls are like, yar. But the girls go, no, you're not. And she was like, no, I really am. And
she's like,
I was
I'm actually a really bad person. You guys have no idea.
Literally. There's definitely an angle of that. But there's so much treachery going on. Like how she's asking Tom Schwartz to kiss her. But mm-hmm. in the meantime, we know that she's just using this as like, I don't know, some kind of red herring because she is secretly sleeping with Tom Sandoval, who in episodes is wearing the lightning bolt necklace that we know.
And the lightning bolt earring, by the way.
So psychotic. I was with a friend who really thinks he's attractive and I wanted to get your temperature on that because I think he looks like a Vegas magician.
No. He's always been disgusting to me. Tom Schwartz is someone that I do find, like, talk about the charm. I don't know if you saw.
Mysteriously attractive.
He's mysteriously attractive, but
I don't know. He looks like maybe something happened to him at birth, like that he like lost oxygen at a certain point because he's like a little bit like blue sometimes.
Well, I think that's like an opioid thing. Like there was some sort of blind items a few years ago about like him doing opioids. And it does kind of make sense because it's like he can turn really mean and dark really quickly. And then the rest of the time, he's like the most jovial, charming, like, ah, shucks, I wish I didn't throw away my whole marriage. But Katie, you look great, you know, and you're like, wait, what? But I don't know if you saw it. There's like this video that came out of a TMZ reporter like approaching him in the airport. And I've never seen someone be so amicable to a TMZ person. Like he's like, hey, man. Yeah. And the guy's like, So crazy what happened with Ariana and Tom. And Schwartz is like, oh, yeah, I know. It's just, you know, I think Tom really feels like a piece of shit. And he is a piece of shit. And I'm like, okay.
What are you doing?
I know, but in a way, I was just like, wait, you're so sweet and charming. Like, I don't know. And I can't, like, resist his weird, like, boyish thing where he's like, man, I really hope Ariana is doing okay. And you're like, wait, you're sweet. Tom Sandoval, I've never found charming. I think he's so annoying. I think he's fake and full of shit. That's the other thing. It's like Schwartz always seemed like authentic to his personality. And Jax, I feel like, is like authentically a total psychopath. But Tom is like a fake.
I think you're
phony.
Absolutely right.
Like he sucks. And this is the thing about him. He pretends he's a good guy. Like this thing that's circulating too from a previous season where it's the year. It's Ariana's birthday, the birthday after her dad died. And she's like upset because it's her going to be her birthday and her dad just died and whatever. And he tells her, he's like, I love you so much and I want to always be there for you. But on your birthday, Jax invited me to go do monster trucks in Vegas. And so
wow.
And it's like, he does the whole thing of like, okay, listen, I love you so much. I want to show up for you, but also I'm just going to be selfish. Whereas Jax will be like, yeah, I fucked someone else. Okay, get the fuck over it. And Schwartz will be like, yeah, I know I'm selfish piece of shit. Like, Sandoval is fake. Fuck you. And you're not a good person. And I bet that the most painful thing about this to him is that he doesn't look like a good guy.
Yes, 100%,
and I'm glad 100%. He doesn't. And I hope he never looks like a good guy again. And I hope that that kills him inside.
I do think that Tom Schwartz, and apologies to people who are listening to this for the second time. Do you think Tom Schwartz knew?
Yes. Yes, I think he knew. There's no way he didn't.
And
like,
do you think he was complicit in helping them cover it up? Because
no,
he seemed no.
He's not capable of that. That's the thing. Like, they're all getting wasted every single day. The fact that Sandoval and Raquel were able to hide this is the biggest mystery of it all, because it's like, how, but Sandoval doesn't get that fucked up. Raquel gets really fucked up. So I really don't know how she hid it, but, Schwartz, if he had that secret, like, he would have been fucking loose lipping that to like random strangers on the street. He would be like at BravoCon talking to like a horde of fans being like, man, I really don't know what to do because my best friend is hooking up with Raquel and he's good with Ariana. Like, I don't know. So
I also want to talk briefly about Katie Maloney in this most recent season 10, where she goes to Vegas. And, you know, she's been in a relationship and marriage for 12 years. I love watching a rusty girl flirt, because she is at, you know, a bar in Vegas, and the grossest guys maybe I've ever seen in my life, covered in tattoos,
so
handlebar mustache, trucker hat, like in Vegas. Like, anyone who looks like that is so much worse just being in Vegas. They're like, hey, what's up? And she looks at them as literally as though they just proposed, like that she ran away with them. She goes, okay. Hi. Like,
hi.
She slowly brings out her hand, like, hi, yeah, okay. And they're like, you want a drink? And she's like, sure. And you're like, you're making this something it's really not. At the end there, she's like, do you want to get my number? And I'm like, I need someone to sit you down and talk you through how to flirt again. And then they have a divorce party. That is one of the sadder, her and Lala, that's one of the sadder things I've ever seen in my life. Like, there's a pinata with his head on it that they hit, with Tom Schwartz's head on
three
it. They
people.
Hit, yeah, there's three people there. There's like these plastic cups that are like divorce party bitches. And the sky is overcast. They're all in like their pajamas from the night before. If they're out at a club, if it was Camille Grammer, like gyrating on the side of a club, I at least would be like, okay, this is sad and crazy, but like, at least they look like they're having fun.
Yes.
Katie Maloney literally looks like, this is like the most dismal thing I've ever seen. And Lala Kent is
Lauren from Utah.
And as someone said while watching last night, they said this cast has the worst tattoos out of any
yes.
franchise in Bravo. Like, Katie Maloney's cheetah print tattoo, Lala's 818 tattoo on her shoulder.
Listen, one of the worst qualities about me as a person is that I like Katie's cheetah print tattoo and have envied it.
Wait, do you know what's so funny? I have a scar on the side of my head and I was like, really wanted to get cheetah print tattooed on it just to like sneak out my hair once in a while. But then I saw Katie's tattoo and I thought to share that with a star of Vanderpump Rules would be hard for me.
Well, I think that if Scandoval never happened, and I mean, now that's a real interesting
thing. So there's another universe where this didn't happen. You know, people are good. And there's another universe where Tom Scandoval's band is doing really well.
The most extras are doing well. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think. So if this had never happened, I put myself. This is also, by the way, just something about me currently right now. I'm doing a lot of work on myself. I'm trying to expand my consciousness, grow my understanding of things. So I did pause. People say there's miracle in pause. And I paused.
P-A-U-S-E.
I paused for a few seconds after watching the latest episode. And I thought, what would I have thought about this episode had Scandoval never happened? And the truth is, I would have been totally on board with Charlie with an I and Raquel, because first of all, I love Charlie, and she's like every scene that Charlie's in, she just brings fun to. Like, she's either being like, okay, let's do shots, or she's like creating drama, or talking about like how she's never eaten pasta. So I would have been totally on board with like, they're the two like younger girls there. They're at this like lamest, most boring, like married divorce party where they're like, yeah, we're not really gonna like get out of our pajamas. And like, and Charlie and Raquel being like, actually, I think we're gonna go like have the time of our lives and like hook up with some guys. Who cares? I would have been like, great. Even though I do think it's fucked up for Raquel to flirt with Schwartz, I would have also given her the grace that she was in like a fucked up, abusive relationship with James. Schwartz is single. She doesn't know Katie that well.
James like, is a serial killer.
She wants to get hers. I would have been like, she wants to get hers. She wants to go to the boys' party. That sucks, but it's like kind of fun that they did that. And by the way, it created drama, and there was no other drama otherwise. Like the fact that they were like, okay, actually, bye. We're going to go to the boys' party. But now, given the light that's been shed on the monster that is Rachel Levis.
Raquel. Oh, and her real name is Rachel. Got
her
it.
Real name is Rachel, that. Yeah. I cannot support what they did. I can support what Charlie did, because Charlie was operating with the information she had. You know, like she's like, let's just get out. But
also watching this for the first time with the knowledge that has been shown, as you said, watching Tom Sandoval's bad acting when he's like, whoa, what are you guys doing here, when they show up to, you know, boy night?
Yeah.
I did hate slash love when Raquel was talking about James and, you know, their final straw, which I was upset it wasn't on camera, but she was talking about how like he went to her parents at Thanksgiving, was awful. And then
so
she's like,
up.
And then on camera, she's like, yeah. And then he called my mom a fat bitch and all this stuff. And I was like, maybe save that for like off camera.
And then they show a picture of the mom. I'm like, didn't need to show the picture. Didn't actually need to show the picture.
Why are we trying to do the mom dirty like that? If someone was like, Carolina, he's so mean, he called you like a fat, ugly whore, I would have been like, maybe just say whore. Like, I don't know. Why do we have to know all of, I don't want to know all this. It's not on camera.
Do you know that that's actually not her mom, by the way? It's like her mom
is
actually.
What is true and what is not true?
Wait, I have to find this because it's kind of funny. I mean, it's not funny, but it's like her mom like couldn't get pregnant or something. So her friend like had a baby and gave it to her. And so.
Her mom's friend had a baby and gave it to her.
Susan.
Oh, this is like our dream, isn't it? Like, we don't have to be pregnant and someone just hands us a baby? In it.
She also has a grandma named Buttons. Okay, this is a quote. Like, when we were in the group chat that I was talking about with Hallie on the episode, and Hallie was talking about how Raquel is, like, AI. Like, she's, like, ChatGPT of Vanderpump Rules.
Sure.
And she's just, like, a compilation of, like, different characters from the Vanderpump Rules franchise put into a robot. So she was like, so Hallie was sending quotes from like articles that sounded like it was written by AI. So this is a quote from Raquel. My biological mom, Susan, gave birth to Kate before me. And then Susan accidentally got pregnant again, right around the time my aunt Laura was trying to conceive. Susan was generous enough to offer to have me for my aunt. So Susan is her birth mom. And Laura is the woman who raised her. So I think Laura is the fat bitch, according to James.
Sure.
And Susan is like in her life somehow too, but I'm not really sure to what extent.
I mean, I'm sad for Raquel. I do want to say this. Like, I am worried for how real we treat these things in terms of the public's response. The fact that she's getting death threats against her is insane.
But that's just like part of being in reality TV.
That's true too. But isn't it a crazy part of just being human? It's like how Selena Gomez, if she ever hints at anyone like being mean to her, like people get doxxed and have to like leave their homes. I'm like, please like go after someone else. Like there are times to be extreme, like not to a Ginny and Georgia writer who wrote a bad joke about Taylor Swift, like, you know, dating too much.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm like trying to justify it because meanwhile you go to Raquel's Instagram and there's like death threats from me in the comments. No,
you're
I'm kidding.
Like, well, some people, you know, think that what she did was, you know, worthy of being executed.
It's me commenting on Raquel's Instagram. Your mom is not your real mom, but she's still a fat bitch.
I want true romance.
Hey, my name is Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So yeah, so we can understand Raquel's behavior, some of it, because James is so fucked up.
He's so gross. The British thing, I'm going to say something controversial. It also bothers me, his accent.
I like the accent, and like I will say, he does, in earlier seasons, he does at some points get you. Like, I think he's really charming, like in a sociopathic way. Where in earlier seasons, sometimes like when he cries about like how he was bullied and stuff, like there were moments when I was like, oh my God, wait, is James like sweet? And no, he's not, obviously. But it's funny because James like thinks that this has redeemed him of everything, even though he cheated. That's what annoys me too. It's like, okay, he cheated on Raquel with Lala and Lala cheated on Raquel with James, like, which is okay, so you're just gonna pretend that never happened. And then Lala's like, it was 6 years ago. It's like, that's not that long ago.
That's a pretty big deal too.
And also, if you watch the earlier seasons, like Raquel is very insecure by how like James flirts with Lala and they both completely like gaslight her about it. Anyway, the point is, James is like acting like now he's like one of the victims of this situation. And Kristen Doughty posted like an International Women's Day thing with like her and Ariana and all the girls. And James commented this with like the raising hands emoji as if he's like, OMG, girl bosses, this, yes. International Women's Day. And I'm like, you are calling Susan, or no, you're calling Laura a fat bitch. And then you're saying this to International Women's Day.
But he also observes International Women's Day.
Thank you for observing.
Thank you for standing with us in our community of women. I'm very interested to watch the rest of these episodes. I'm going to love to see how Lisa Vanderpump inserts herself. I've never seen such acting as Lisa Vanderpump on the beginning of this show, by the way. It's as if, like, she comes
in season one, you mean?
She'll, like, totally, like, lip gloss will look at them, like, literally out from the hostess bar as if that's where she's working. I'm kind of be like, it looks like Jax and Stassi are fighting. I do love Stassi. I want to give a shout out to her just for the exchange where they're fighting in front of people, all of their best friends, quote unquote. And Jax says, yeah, I slept on the couch because I'd rather sleep on the couch than get in bed with the devil. And Katie is like, oh, it's Jax. And Stassi looks at him with a stare that could freeze you to death in your tracks and goes, I am the devil. And don't you ever forget it. And I thought, I thought, wow.
A star was born.
A star was born. She really pulled it together.
I'm glad you said, quote, best friends, unquote, because it is so crazy when you do a rewatch, which I have been doing of Vanderpump Rules. Like, these people have treated each other. Like, they are so awful to each other. When you watch the new teaser, mid-season teaser that was released, that shows all of these people inside Sir watching Lisa Vanderpump giving a tearful speech about how their lives are falling apart. It's like they're all so interconnected and they're all so awful to each other, but yet they all like stay friends somehow. It's like they've all found each other in this weird little universe and they can't really make friends outside of it. And they say the worst shit ever about each other. And then when something bad happens, they're like, you will never disrespect my friend. And it's like, didn't you just say that she's a piece of shit and that Katie and Tom shouldn't be getting married and that Katie is Tequila Katie and Tom is abusive and all? Like, it's just, it's so, it's really something else.
It's also tragic how, I mean, no, tragic is the wrong word. They're chasing fame so hard when season one.
Yeah.
Until they kind of find out, like, this is life and, you know, this is the role I chose.
None of them are going to be famous for the reasons they want. They're literally,
like, being famous wouldn't hurt. Shit. Like, I'm
when
out
I win
here,
my Oscar, like, Kristen says at one point, when I win my Oscar. When I win my Oscar, she says.
It's not great.
Listen. She is a published author. She wrote a book called He's Making You Crazy.
Also, Shayna singing in the first in the pilot and saying that I used to get mistaken for Britney Spears at the mall when I was a kid because I look exactly like her.
Mm-hmm.
And her saying, I'm not a singer, I'm a performer. And then her literally just doing, I was like, this is a scam. Like, we're watching someone get, like, sexually exploited. Like, them, like, being like, now you're doing porn star voices. And she's just going like, oh, yeah, in the microphone. And I thought, this is making Luann, like, comfortable somewhere. Luann is watching this summer and going, oh, thank God it wasn't that bad.
I know. There's so many people on Vanderpump who attempt singing. Like, I hate to say this because she's going through so much right now, but there is a moment where Ariana tries to sing. And it's really upsetting. But also, I noticed too that Lala did this song where the only lyrics are, turn the music up, play it loud like this. Exactly like that. That's how she
and
says
you liked it.
And play it loud like this. No, but I didn't like it, but they ended up using it as, like, the filler music for a couple of scenes, you know, when the when the scene changes and it's like, Sunset Boulevard lights flash flash, like they use that play loud like this sometimes and I'm like, oh, it's Lala.
Oh, I'm familiar with this artist. I am a little bit worried, like, Lala's life is very dark.
I know, it's upsetting. Again, Lala is one that there's been moments where I've hated her. I've really hated, like, the whole, my man, he's buying me Gucci slides. My man is like, I can't. But then
she is a huge hypocrite.
She cries and gets real sometimes in moments where I'm like, wait, I actually love you. And, like, I do think she's a really, this is the thing that I'll say about Lala. I do think she's a really good friend to the people she cares about. And I think the same thing about Stassi to a certain extent. But I can't say that for the rest of them. Like, I don't think they necessarily show up for each other in that way. But yeah, Lala is a hypocrite. I think she's very insecure, but she wants to present as, like, I don't give a fuck, like, whatever. But I think she's much more fragile than she lets on.
Yeah, she did have a poem. She was accidentally a feminist for a second when she was talking about, you know, being a quote unquote mistress. And she was like, so I'm going to get blamed for a man's decision. And I was like, babe, let's refocus the conversation. You're literally accusing Raquel of, like, well, and listen, she's not wrong. That's the thing, is that Lala did have the female intuition that we all have and that we all get clued into at a certain point, which is, in RuPaul's words, something in this milk ain't right. Something is not right here. Something is not safe around this person.
Yes.
I was recently, and this is maybe a brag, I was recently called a girl's girl. And I hadn't heard that phrase in so long. And I held it close to my heart because I was like, that is what we are looking for. That is what we're looking for, to be safe in this world. And you can always identify someone who, like Shayna, in the last episode of episode 10 I watched, who is like, I'm one of the guys. It's guys' night, but I am there because I'm basically one of the guys. And you're like, no, you're actually my least favorite kind of woman.
Shayna is the most painful to watch as a full spectrum character from rewatching every season. She has the least amount of redeeming moments. And there's actually moments where, like, it just continues to get so much worse. And you're like, is it really possible that someone's personality is this bad? Like, it's actually hard to believe that someone's personality can be so bad. But yet she's also a hero in many ways. If she did attack Raquel the way she says, but I guess more will be revealed in that area.
And thus it was said. And I do want to say that I'm very happy to be joining this franchise. I feel welcomed by the community. I feel excited by our True Romance listeners. Devin is putting her finger up like she wants to be called on. Devin?
Because I just had a thought, which is, how beautiful is this franchise, Vanderpump Rules, that you have only just begun. You've watched maybe three or five episodes, okay? And you already have this much to say about it. And how much have we had to say about the fucking entire Bachelor. Season of Bachelor?
We literally hopped on here to talk about it, by the way. And Devin and I, and you know what we were? We were fed up. Time's up on The Bachelor. We're done. We are calling this for what it is. It's not entertaining anymore.
It's not.
And we have given it more chances than I have given ex-boyfriends. And I have given them lots of chances. So we are saying time's up. We are seeing Me Too. Me Too was affected. I was affected by The Bachelor.
Me Too was affected by this.
That's how Me Too worked, right? Me Too was affected by this season of The Bachelor.
Yes. And I was at the Women's March saying, me too was affected. Me too was affected by this.
Me too. I don't like it. Me too.
But let me say,
me too.
I am going to try to watch the finale episode of The Bachelor next week because I just want to see the intense drama that the music and effects that they put into the very simple thing of a straight man saying, I don't think I'm going to have sex with any of these girls because it's not right.
That was the one thing I wanted to see. And I thought that we can all agree that it's because he's bad in bed.
No, but then he goes back on it. He's like, then he has like a confessional thing with Jesse where he's like,
I had sex with someone. And you're like, oh my God, what kind of virginity packed bullshit is this?
I know. And like him calling it sex week. And it's just, it's so upsetting. And I will say Katie, the one who lives in Austin, who had him like put together her furniture, I actually do like her, and I think she's like very chill and like normal seeming, and I think she's kind of funny. I think she just deserves much better than him, but I like to watch her. She's like the only redeeming thing at this point, because I don't care about Ariel, no offense. And I don't care, obviously, about Gabby, but I do think he's going to choose Gabby. So
I think so, too. I also think that putting together furniture is a very good test. Like, that was one of those date situations where I was like, this is actually cool. In order to get to know someone, it's like, I do want to see how you deal with an annoying situation. And will you make it fun? Will you bond with me? Or will you like complain and say the, you know, directions don't work?
Imagine if he just totally lost his shit and like started crying because it was so hard. It's so hard to put the table together.
I hate it. Once my college boyfriend started crying because he was having a hard time getting through to his credit card company. And I was like,
I relate to him.
I do relate to him. But even at the moment, I was like, you're such a baby. Point being, I'm a baby. Me too, I'm baby. Point being, I cannot wait to continue checking in about Vanderpump. I think that we should probably check in every episode to do a brief. We won't take it over.
1,000%.
But we need to keep checking in because it's too hot. We have to take, you know, carpe diem. We have to say that we've just seized the day, take advantage of this time, be grateful for, you know, the drama. And we would love if you all took some time out of your day to stay informed. Yes. And find out what's happening in the world, because so many people do not know what's going on.
And by the way, like, there's something to be said for, like I said, pausing. Don't just watch the episode. I think take a moment after the episode and really process what's happened, because we need to pay attention to every single detail. And I think sometimes you'll find the editors are trying to point you to certain things.
Me and touching my finger to my nose.
That's a gift. And we need to give the editors their due respect by really keying into transitions, the random shot here and there. What are they grabbing? What are they picking up on? We need to be there for that. I highly recommend getting your TikTok algorithm in the space of Vanderpump, because what's happening is that I'm now getting just like random clip. People are doing the Lord's work, which is going back and finding these moments from previous seasons that are like foreshadowing. So I think that's really helpful, like seeing old moments, seeing like, okay, remember, we have to hold accountable the fact that this happened. Like, we have to, as humans, human beings, hold each other accountable. And that's what people are doing by rewatching and finding moments that further prove that basically Ariana is a perfect angel and Sandoval is one of the worst douchebags to walk this green earth here.
Until next time, I love you, Devin.
Love you, Carol.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. And I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.